Here we are again, back for another episode of Smell You Later. We're so happy you joined us. I'm Tynan, your co-host.
And I'm Sable, your other co-host.
But you probably already know that by now.
Probably. But if you're new, hey.
Hey, if you're new, we're so happy you joined us. We get new listeners every week, and we're very grateful for every single one of you. And segue, we, to show our appreciation for all of y'all, are doing our first Smell You Later giveaway this
episode.
Oh,
shit.
We're kind of just winging it.
See, there's good things that happen when you listen. Yeah.
We'll be back.
Totally.
So the deets are our friends at Mix Bar Fragrances, who I talked about a couple of weeks ago, did not sponsor this giveaway, but if they want to cut us a check, they're more than welcome.
Yes.
They just sent me two of the same collection, so we're going to give one away.
Yeah.
The co-sign is, I'm obsessed with this collection. All seven scents are really, really great. We're giving away seven Eau de Parfums. They're available at Target. They're super affordable and accessible. Each of the fragrances, I swear to God, I love. And they're made to layer. They weren't made to wear alone. So Sable, how do they enter themselves to win this giveaway? Because I forgot.
Okay, so we're trying to keep it as simple as possible, which is basically share the post with the details in your Instagram story. Don't worry. You don't have to put it on your stupid grid.
You don't have to tag anyone.
You don't have to tag anybody.
That's so embarrassing.
And then
share the fresh post, which is this episode's grid post. Send it over to your story. Say something cute or don't, and that automatically enters you. And we're going to pick one of you at random. And then we will send away. Also, sorry, but this is only available in the continental United States because I'm not paying for overseas shipping.
Same.
But Mixbar can if they want to. So give us a shout.
I think it's like tricky to mail fragrance overseas because it's like a potentially flammable product.
Oh, it's I do it all the time. I just lie.
Yeah, lying does fix a lot of problems, I suppose.
If the government is listening, that was a joke.
The FBI is coming to your house now.
Oh, the FBI is already on their way. Anyways, best of luck.
So simple. Oh my gosh, it's so simple.
They're not sponsoring this. There's no fucking rules.
Yeah, we're not getting paid. Unless. But in the meanwhile, what are you smelling today, Tynan?
Well, oh my God, I have to tell you about this SPF that I tried today. It's very bad. I'm going to tell you not to buy it. What do I smell today? I smell like Persons of Interest Supernova. Persons of Interest is a fragrance brand that reached out to us recently and sent us their entire collection. Sable, I still have to give you yours.
Oh my God.
I think there's 10 cents in all. Ugh, maybe one isn't announced yet. So maybe there's 9 cents in all.
Soon to be 10.
I'm wearing my way through them. They're all very like Tynan vibes in a warm, spicy, sticky way. I'm only maybe about a third of the way through, so don't quote me on that. But Supernova is a huge standout to me. The build of the scent per the brand is, they say it feels like meandering through the woods at first with a hint of lime that lingers. After that, patchouli, coriander, and amber make for a bold finish. Okay, I don't agree with that at all. I think it's like very, it smells like it looks to me like a supernova looks. It feels very like spacey and pulsating and like yellow and purple. It's really good. I really, really like this. It's sort of hard to nail down because it's one of those fragrances that is like everything and nothing at the same time. It is like citrusy. It is woody. It's a little herbaceous, but it's just very bright in a really cool, engaging way. And I think that Supernova is just the best name for it, because
that's a good name.
It's just, yeah, it is good. And it like, it sort of comes at you all at once. It is a linear scent. I always forget. It is a linear scent in that it doesn't change all that much on me throughout wear. It's just like super fun. And as much as I love, obviously, like warm, spicy fragrances, this was a really nice pivot. And it's great. I'm definitely going to be wearing through this in the spring and summer. I'm so happy I have a full-size bottle of it because I really do. I'm obsessed with it. So yeah, I can't wait to wear the rest of the Persons of Interest collection. And Sable, I have the Discovery set for you.
Yay.
So I can't wait to hear your thoughts on it too. So,
are they a new brand?
I was hoping you weren't going to ask me that question.
Okay, never mind. We can
skip. I believe they are a new brand. Okay. They are definitely an indie moment. So what I'm gleaning from a quick peruse of their Instagram is they're not like they're contemporary, but they didn't just come out, you know, so they've been around for a minute. And honestly, this is the first time that I have heard of them, which is odd because a nine slash 10 cent collection is nothing to scoff at. And
yeah,
we're pretty deep in it with the fragrance girls and have been for a minute. But anyways, we know them now and I'm really liking it. So yeah, it's great.
Cool.
And I can't wait to hear what you think of them. I also can't wait to hear, Sable, what do you smell like today?
I smell like a new brand that I have recently become acquainted with called Floral Street. Mm-hmm. They're from the UK. They're in Sephora. That's pretty much the extent of what I know about them. I'm wearing Arizona Bloom. And as the name implies, all of their scents are based around flowers. And as someone who's like not really a floral scent type of person, I think they do interesting stuff with the floral genre. And Arizona Bloom does not read as strictly floral, which I find interesting. And it's very soft and musky and it's sweet, but not in a powdery way. It just smells very fresh and clean, but also musky, which is really nice. It's a little bit sweeter than what I would call a skin scent, but I also think like when you wear it all day, like by midday, it's going to be a skin scent.
Yeah.
People love those things though. I love those things.
They do. We know.
Yeah. They're cute. Like their whole thing is about sustainability with flowers, which I'm still like, tell me more about that. Cause what does that even mean? But I like that the cartons are made of those. What is that kind of cardboard? It's like molded and it's compostable cardboard. I don't know. I like that.
They're like literally when we say carton, they're like literally a carton.
Yeah.
You know, like almost like a carton of eggs, but for fragrance.
Yes. Yes. You know, exactly.
I also, for the life of me, could not figure out how to open that fucking thing.
Oh, with the rubber band thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, there's no tape. Why can't I get it open?
Yeah. It's a bit conceptual by design, but yeah, they're interesting. I think they're new-ish. I mean, it's not really groundbreaking to just be like, oh, flowers. Mm-hmm. We like the way they smell, but their whole collection, I guess each scent is based around a flower or an accord, but then it like does something a bit quirky with it.
Hmm.
Yeah, like Ylang Ylang Espresso, which smells like coffee, but also like a damp, herbaceous, sweet kind of coffee scent, which is really interesting.
They sent me that. I'm so excited right into it. I love a coffee scent.
Yeah, I like that one. I like Chypre Sublime. And every time I see the word Chypre, I have to re-Google what Chypre means.
or how to pronounce it, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just like, it's weird that like there's one word to describe this because the scent in and of itself sounds so abstract. It's like, it's a woodsy, mossy, evergreen, but also...
Yeah.
It's like an accord of a bunch of different things.
It is an accord. And I'm wondering, like, how did that accord get its own name?
Why
does
what
about the rest of them?
Yeah. Why does the Chypre get its own accord? Why are you so special? I don't get it.
Chypre privilege.
Yeah. What's with the nepotism? But yeah, Arizona Bloom is really nice. I feel like if you love, hate to say this, if you love Glossier,
Don't say it. If you're going to say, if you love Santal 33,
No, it's not like Santal. Definitely more of like Glossier U. Or if you also love...
They're the same thing.
They're not the same thing.
They're the same thing.
What was the other one? Glossier U is like the girl gender reveal of Santal 33. Like if you're going to have like a gender reveal party, just have like a room filled with either Santal 33 or Glossier U, and that will be it.
That is so funny.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
But this Arizona Bloom to me is reminiscent of Glossier U or Byredo Gypsy Water.
Okay. See, those to me are two completely different things.
Yeah. Well, okay. Gypsy Water, I feel the vibe. And I feel like it's like the high end version of Glossier U. If you catch my drift, it's like the more complex grown up version of Glossier U.
Yeah, because Gypsy Water is good and Glossier U is not.
Sometimes things can be good and bad. Let things be bad.
No, I just think I'm just gonna repeat what you just said, but I feel like there's more like going on with Gypsy Water than Glossier U.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, Arizona Bloom's good. I saw also like on their website, I think it had one of those like magazine choice awards from like Cosmopolitan. I was kind of already like, oh, I know what this is going to smell like.
Well, you know, the brand has money because you have to buy those.
I know. Yeah. You got to license.
I know
you have to license those. That's, mm-hmm. that's how Allure made all its money. That's what paid her salaries. I'm not kidding.
We are going to get sued.
Yeah.
Pivoting. Before we get the police call on us. Who do we have on the show today?
Ooh, this is a topic that I think is very of the moment, mm-hmm. having to do with skincare and fragrance, and particularly mm-hmm. fragrance in skincare. So we asked one of probably the most fragrant skincare brands out there, Fresh. Is it Fresh or Fresh Beauty? I think it's just Fresh.
It's just Fresh.
Yeah. So we asked Fresh. We're like, hey, your guys' products smell really good, and that's like kind of your whole MO. What's the deal?
Right.
And they're like, okay, here's the deal. And then this episode happened.
Yeah. Nobody tell Hiram, because we know how he feels.
Yeah.
About fragrance and skincare. But
yeah, people hate it.
It's for you, not him.
But then everyone's like, no, it's not that bad. And other people are like, I'm sensitive. And I'm like,
wait, quick. How do we feel about fragrance and skincare? I know we've talked about this before.
Good point. I personally am okay with it and I enjoy it. I'm thinking, actually, there's one retinol serum cream that It Cosmetics sent me recently that has the most amazing fragrance in it. And it's strong enough where like I smell it on my face after I apply it. And I'm like, this should be a perfume or like a body lotion because it smells so good. And it being a retinol serum, I'm like, yeah, this is absolutely an added fragrance. But I'm like, huh, I wonder, because I don't. Yeah, actually, It Cosmetics, they have fragrance in their other products I've tried. But this one was, to me, just really notable because it smells like an actual perfume. I was like, oh, like they're not trying to just make it smell like a cream, you know, like that moisturizer smell.
Right.
Yeah. Like it seems to me like pretty unique and well thought out. So I was like, huh, I wonder what that's about.
Huh. That reminds me, I want to talk to you about retinols.
I still don't really know anything about retinols, but.
Right. Same.
Do I need them? I don't know.
Do we need them? I mean, we're in our 30s. The answer is yes. just kidding. Me personally, like, I don't have very reactive skin, so I really don't care about fragrance and skincare. Same. I don't want things to be like super, like when a moisturizer is really, really fragrant and I smell it after I put it on, I don't like that. Even if I do, even if I like the scent, it's just like, it doesn't sit right with me. The brand called, not to throw anyone under the bus, but the brand Kinship, they're a new brand. You've probably seen them on Instagram.
Yeah. I know them.
Their products are fine, but they're all very scented.
Which is interesting because they don't add fragrance to their products. I don't get it.
I said that on Instagram stories in the summer, and the founder hit me back and was like, oh, but it's like a natural vanilla. And I was like, all right, it's also really strong. Like,
The cleanser, the cleanser to me smells like bubble gum, like strongly like bubble gum. And I was like, whoa, what's up?
Which of course I love. Yeah. Exactly. Oh, I don't like the cleanser. SPF smells like vanilla. The moisturizer smells like marshmallows, like all scents that I love. I just don't, it's so strong that I'm like, ugh.
Yeah. They're pretty dialed up.
Like, I don't mind, you know, anything that you rinse off, like a cleanser, I don't care about. And as long as it's things aren't super fragrant, I don't really care. I will say that I love the Fenty cleanser because of the way it smells. It smells like a Baskin Robbins, and I love it. Like I've recently started using it again every day just because I like the way it smells so much. If they made that a fragrance or a body cream, I would be down.
Yeah.
What's up?
Yeah, a fair amount of Korean skincare products are scented to smell almost like candy. And I think that's just an expectation of the products, and that's just part of the experience of it. But yeah, sometimes I'm like, this is like, you could dial it down. Just like, just like half the concentration and that would be fine. Same thing with luxury products like La Prairie and Clé de Peau. They're so incredibly fragrant.
Yes.
And
yes.
Anytime I've been given a La Prairie product, I pretty much just give it to my mom because she wants them, and they work better, I think, for mature skin types. But she was telling me that, like, when she wears the cream, and then she's like, you know what? I always thought that this was a perfume that old rich ladies wear, but I realize it's just the smell of their moisturizer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just like radiates off your face by like 5 feet.
Isn't it funny that people trip over their dicks for all these like super expensive skincare?
Yeah.
But then you get them and you're like, this smells like shit and it smells really strongly. This is going to,
I think that's part of it though. It's like a wealth signifier.
That's
like,
true.
If you smell
that's
like true. That cream, you're like, oh, you can't see it on my face, but you can smell that I'm wearing this $800 face cream.
Well, and it's also like, I feel like a lot of times when something is that expensive, people don't care what it does or how it smells. They just want to own it.
Oh, yeah.
Use it, you know?
100%. I've never tried that Augustus Botter or Augustus Bader line, but I'm sure that's scented.
I have tried it.
Oh, really? Is it scented?
And I don't think it is, actually.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
But fine. Yeah, Clé de Peau, all their stuff is scented. I actually like the scent of their stuff. Yeah, Descartes is like another Japanese luxury brand, incredibly scented. And I'm like, guys, this is a bit much.
Yeah.
And they're like, it has diamond stem cells. And I'm like, okay, I guess. The smell of stem cells.
Right. Well, to help us break down fragrance and skincare, how they fragrance their collection, and talk about their eau de parfums, which they have a pretty large collection of for a skincare brand. We have Lev Glosman from Fresh to talk about all things fragrance and skincare, and we are so excited that he's joining us today.
Indeed.
Let's go.
So I'm Lev Glosman, one of the founders of Fresh Cosmetics. Started the company back in 1991. What I do for the company, particularly now, is in charge on all the product development and the direction of the company in terms of products. That's one of my biggest passions. Something that I've done for the last 30 years. You know, I've did many different things with Fresh, ran the company, been part of every team. Still I am today, but I'm particularly focusing right now on product development today and going into the future. And I have an amazing team I'm working with, and I'm doing something, I'm one of those lucky people, I'm doing something that I love for a living. So
it's very lucky.
Oh. Yeah. Yes. And did Fresh always start out as a skincare brand?
Yes. Fresh started out as a skincare brand right from the get-go. And we opened our first store back in 1991. My whole thing to beauty was, at the time particularly, I felt nobody talked about natural ingredients. And I thought it was very important to introduce the world or reintroduce the world to natural ingredients, because I think that we went away from it. And I've been using a lot of ingredients that have been natural, not only concocting some of my own ingredients. My mother used to always laugh at me that our refrigerator was always on my face. Because not a lot of things was left inside the refrigerator, because I would be making masks out of jams and butters, you name it. So I always believed in natural ingredients, and I felt that natural ingredients was not something people were talking about it. And I felt that I had a voice. I wanted to express why I loved natural ingredients, why it was important. And I also felt that going to department stores at the time, I found that I was giving information about the product, but I could never fully understand the ingredient that was in the actual product. And it was very difficult for me emotionally to connect to the product because there was not enough of a story behind it. And I felt that I probably would be better off if I'm going to be talking about ingredients that deliver certain benefits, but also something that people are familiar with.
Right.
That it's not that crazy scientific, although I believe in science in a huge way. But I felt that beauty was too scientific at the time. And we wanted to create a different conversation. We wanted people to emotionally connect to the beauty products that they're using, because I think it's such an important ritual in people's lives.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I do feel like scent of course plays a huge part in emotional connection, because it triggers that part of your brain. And was that always kind of in the back of your mind when you were creating products, like the scent they would have?
Always. Sable, you know, I have to tell you is that I feel when I use beauty products, always, because it's such a, it's a luxury, but it's an affordable luxury. Anybody can have it in their life. Anybody. But it's also, there is something very intimate. When you use beauty products, it's something that you have a moment with yourself. You're doing something for yourself. And I think your experience has to be very full. Sensorial experience in beauty is extremely important. I mean, I really want to make sure that we create products that are safe, products that are innovative, and products that working. So
right.
if we claim something and we stand behind the product fully, but then the sensorial aspect of that as important as all of that, because I believe that it's sort of like, just because your endorphins are start waking up and it just adds to the experience in so many different ways, because you're not just slapping something on your face, but you actually, it takes you someplace. And mm-hmm. that's why I feel that the fragrance is a very important part of the product and sensorial experience as well. You know, every one of our products have its own fragrance. Every one of our products have its own texture.
Right, yeah.
I believe that the certain ingredient brings to you some, have to bring certain experience. You need to fully connect to the ingredient itself. Because when it comes from nature, it got to give, you got to dive into it. If it's a rose, you got to experience rose with its fullest sort of like beauty that it offers. You know, you got to have the rose petals that melt into your skin like in a rose mask. And you got to have the rose sort of like the very fresh rose fragrance that associates with it, that it takes you to the ingredient.
That makes a ton of sense. I also was just remembering the strawberry mask was one of the first fresh products that I experienced. And I was like, oh my God, there's actually strawberry seeds in here.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Because we, you know, we always tell my teams right from the get-go when they're joining me, and particularly on the product development side, the chemists, the scientists, the botanists, I mean, the whole world that I'm surrounding myself with, is that we're very generous with ingredients. And the idea here is that the generosity comes from if we saying we're going to make a sugar mask, right? So you will have 60% of it, there'll be sugar in it. And if we tell you there is strawberry in it, there'll be a real strawberry in it. And, you know, I also, you know, it's very funny because when we were creating this product, when I just partnered with LVMH back in 2000, and I got sort of like my own little laboratory within their big laboratory. And I remember this was one of the first products I did with the botanists and the chemists in a laboratory there. The first day, I think nothing went into a jar. We were eating every ingredient that was brought into the laboratory. It was crazy. It was crazy because it was the middle of summer. Those wild strawberries were available. So one of the chemists brought the strawberries, like, and the most fragrant strawberries you can ever imagine. And nothing was in a jar. It was literally, we're talking, eating, and we just said, guys, hold off, because we're running out of the ingredients, because we've got to make some formula here, you know?
I'm sure it seems like sort of obvious, but it's so cool that with fresh products, a lot of the time, like the whole experience is coming from the ingredients that are used, like not only the skincare benefit, but the texture and the smell, whereas some other skincare, you know, it'll be fragrance and there'll be, you know, added beads or whatever to exfoliate. But I feel like with fresh, it's all coming from that hero ingredient that the product is based around. I think that creates such a connection to the product and much more of an experiential situation.
It is. And I think, you know, Tynan, it's one of those things is that when you talk about the ingredient, you want to connect to the story of the ingredient in a full way. You know, if I smell a product, it says, well, you have tea in it, or you have some bergamot or whatever it is. You want the product to smell like the ingredient, because you cannot in any way talk about the ingredient without people taking them there and connect to it, because that's our sensory capabilities are we can't underestimate them. They're very, very high. And I think that it gives you that whole other level of experience. And every one of my products that I created, if it's part of different franchises, we're calling them, if it's a black tea or if it's a rose or if it's the lotus, it really have to take you there. They're all very, very different, because the connection with the ingredient without sensorial experience, I don't think you completed the story.
Totally. I imagine because you guys are using fresh, real, like physical ingredients, it must be kind of difficult to maintain its scent experience throughout the life of the product. So how much would you say is the natural fragrance and the ingredient plus like a little added pizzazz in there?
First of all, to start with is that, not to confuse it, is that you can't replicate some scents that naturally 100% available to us today as a scent. They just don't exist, some of them. So a lot of times you have to create certain compositions that helps to highlight what it is. So on the rose, it's not difficult. Like a rose mask, we have a natural rose, a beautiful rose, we have a sort of like that, and the rose extract, that there's a beautiful potent fragrance to it. And I added some cucumber to it to make it very, very fresh. So it's not, it doesn't smell very perfumey, it doesn't smell very heavy. It's almost like a morning dew. Like when you smell rose, it's sort of like it's very wet. So it's very, very fresh. And the whole line, it's all about hydration. It's all about freshness, right? So you can do those things, but you're still very limited on what you can get naturally. You know, you can get lavenders naturally. You can get vanillas and all of those things. And you also have to be very careful because some of those natural ingredients could be also very potent because they could, they have a lot of allergens in them. So you're always in a place where you have to find the right balance, because for me, the most important thing is the safety of the product. And also where certain things coming from, making sure that we're not, you know, we're doing the traceability is the right traceability. So understanding what farm things coming from, where's the resources that coming from, how is it being distilled, how is it going to be being made? You're taking a lot of responsibility with that. You want to make sure that every ingredient that goes into these extracts, they are checked. They are not producing allergens, because fragrances could be very allergic and you have to be very, very careful. So you always have to find a way when you create the composition, how do you create something for the skin? Because it's not a perfume.
Right.
It's a skincare. How do you create something that is very safe and that will create the least amount of effect on the skin in terms of allergic reactions, and something that also gives people the right experience, but it's also doesn't create sort of like that, doesn't keep the balance of what happens in nature, of how much we take out, what are we putting back? It's all about the balance constantly. And I'm a great believer today that I'm a great believer of natural ingredients, but also a great believer that what we take from nature, we need to put it back.
Right. Yeah.
Not only what we take from nature and putting back, where is it coming from? Who are the people that are growing it? Where, what is the source of that? And then whatever other ingredients we put into it, they got to be very, very gentle without polluting or things that have to break down in nature without creating any damages. And that's the balance that we're always walking, you know, that line where we cannot do it without the scientists to be able to guide us in the right direction for me to get the right claims, but also the right experience.
I never thought about that, like how you said, what you take from nature, you have to put back. I think that's such a, we talk so much about sustainability and beauty right now, but we're not always sure what that means, like from a brand standpoint, like what we're actually doing about it. And that's a really good, like one-to-one comparison of how, can you speak on that just like a little bit more? Because we're always talking about sustainability in perfume and product here. So I would love to hear your take on it.
I think what's very important to know is that sustainability is one thing, but traceability is becoming another thing. And traceability is a very tricky thing because you want to make sure that you in touch and you partner with the right people that take care of the farmers, something that you have completely transparent relationship with them, where are things coming from, how are they taking care of the people that grow that. How do they treat the earth when they take things out and what do they put back into it? And I think that that part is extremely important. This is something that we are, it's a constant journey for us. And today more than ever, I think it's something that's very important. Now, I'll give you a perfect example. We have this line, it's the Lotus collection, right? So we have the Lotus night cream and which we call the Lotus dream cream. And what we found, and it takes a long time to find the right partners because you really have to check what the practice of each one of them. And I remember when we finally found this farm, they're in Alabama, they're a local, and this lady, she's obsessed with lotuses as much as I am. And she created she turned her farm into a lotus farm. So she created those pools of water where she was growing the lotuses.
Oh,
so,
wow.
And so I remember when I went there, and what was, I'm talking about full-on traceability experience in a way how it's very rare experience, and I'll explain why. Because when I went there, not only the lotuses that grow there, you take them out of those muddy waters, okay? They're basically like swamps, right? Mm-hmm. And you take them out. We had a truck in there, which called sort of like, we have a, this sort of like process called zeta fraction, where the truck, it's a laboratory that comes right on site. And when you pull the whole plant out of this muddy water, you take it into that laboratory and they're processing it right on site. And the extract is very, very fresh, being captured. And all the, everything that's left over becomes like a manure for next plant. So it goes right back into the muddy water.
That's so and cool.
So that is... that is like a dream come true. I mean, when I found out about that, and it exists, and there'll be more and more of that. But this is a perfect example of creating a powerful ingredient, because we used to have seven. It was a lotus complex consisted of seven different ingredients, including lotus, in order to get the strength of it, so I can get all the benefits. We took away everything because we went only to the super lotus, because this one ingredient all of a sudden replaced seven ingredients, and we completely relaunched the line with this particular ingredient, with this particular process, and just being there at the farm and seeing how all of it is happening, it's at the full circle. Take it out, you extract it, and you put it right back, and it grows back again. I mean, that's to me, it's a magic, and I hope that's exactly how we're going to be doing it going forward, and we got to find a way to do that.
That's really cool. We love to hear it.
We do.
Yeah, me too. Believe me, me too. You know, like for example, we opened a hotel here in Hudson in New York, and for me, we call it sort of like, we do it, you know, responsible environments. We do it at the cost to us and not to the environment. And the whole idea is that you know every single thing that we have, we don't have plastic. I mean, whatever you take out, we do have plastic, but plastic, you throw it into the ground because it's actually made out of corn. So, and I think that the future of it in packaging is going to become that. This technology is going to be available to us at some point where all of our packaging is going to be made out of everything that we used and reused, and somehow they can break down in nature and bring benefit back into the nature. We've got to find a way to do that.
Yeah.
I think it's ideally a miracle. Yeah.
Emphasis on naturally derived ingredients and products in general is very huge. And this focus on what's organic from the earth that doesn't have chemicals in it. And right. Especially in skincare, people are super, super focused on natural stuff, which then also, like, tangentially, I feel it's made people kind of skeptical or just kind of like raise an antenna about fragrance in skincare and how fragrance could potentially be bad or irritating. It just seems very alarmist, the whole like fragrance in skincare is bad decree. And since Fresh's products, scent is so much part of the experience. And I think the draw of the products themselves, like, have you guys experienced a lot of scented skincare backlash?
Not really. I mean, yes, people asking us questions about it, but that's just part of the Fresh experience. I mean, and you know, the most important thing, Sable, is that we are very diligent about checking what goes into the product. I mean, in order for us to validate any ingredient, it could take between 4 to 5 years.
Wow.
Wow.
And that is not an exaggeration. You know, I have concepts. I mean, I can refer to vitamin nectar mask, for example. That's been in working. We've been working on the idea of that, on the idea of creating like this gem mask when you have 50% of it is sort of like clementines, oranges, and lemons, and sort of like all these other extracts. That was almost a mission impossible because we had to work with a food company
right.
that had to convert the product into cosmetic product. And it was 9 years in working, because you have to, because when you're dealing with such a high level of natural ingredients in the product, there is a stability issues. You know, you can't control what's happening in nature. You can't. You can't control the content of minerals that always exist in Earth. It always shifts. It's how much rain was there, how much snow was there, how much sun things were exposed to. I mean, it's there's so many things that affects things, and you can go from one batch to another, and things might be different. And we are so vigorous of constantly maintaining that level of safetiness, because it always comes from what is important to understand is which I didn't understand before I started making products 30 years ago, is safety is number one, and you got to trust the products. You got to, right. And I love natural ingredients, but I also trust science.
Right, because of course.
I would never be able to understand the power of natural ingredients. And I was always extremely curious kid, thinking, why this thing made me feel so good? Why when my mother put sugar on my wound, why it didn't burn me like iodine, but it healed? Okay? Why when I use honey, did similar type of things? Why did I use sea berry oil and I put it on my burn, it helps to take it down?
Right.
I want to know scientifically why. And the scientists helped me to understand the power of nature more than, of course, what people knew 300 years ago, because they couldn't check it scientifically in the same way as we can do it today. They just said, oh my God, it worked, you know?
Trial by fire, yeah.
Exactly, you know? I always wanted to find out who was the first person that created French fries.
Just oily burnt potatoes.
It's my favorite. Like, how did you decide to do that? I mean, you probably warmed it up and you cooked the potatoes. I mean, how did you decide to throw it into the oil, took it out, you tasted it and said, oh, yummy.
That's not a bad question.
Yeah.
I know. Well, listen, it's like everybody, there was the first person of anything we've done that tried to do things, you know, so it's the same thing.
Right.
I always think that about onions. Like, who thought
onions?
Who pulled that out of a ground and was like, we should eat this?
Well, I mean, I think that, oh, believe me, I mean, I think we ate everything.
Probably.
We ate everything. We have, I mean, what is it? Human species started to exist in the world 70,000 years ago. I think that we had an opportunity to try everything.
That's fair.
We've perfected the onion.
You have to also be very careful with mushrooms.
Yes. Yeah. Speaking of safety, though, when do you think that fragrance and skincare becomes unsafe?
I think when every single ingredient that goes into the product has to be checked by scientists and by what we're calling a regulatory arm of any company that creates product, because they got to be able to have a full transparency of what ingredients are there, and you need to test it on humans and you need to test it on man-made sort of whatever we think the construction of the skin, the composition of the skin is. That's what you need to do. I mean, I think that that is a number one thing. You cannot do it without science behind it. You cannot do it without a group of people that's responsible to conduct those tests and to make sure that they can validate it. And it's not done by one person. It's always done by a group of people. And it's a layer of things, because when you become a global company, you understand the level of responsibility is huge the moment you sell it to a first person. The first person you sold the product, you're responsible. I mean, if you do it on yourself, on your own skin, that's your own issue. But the moment you're giving it to somebody else, you carry a certain level of responsibility, and you got to make sure that you check every single thing. And look, we don't know everything. We don't have an answer for everything right now. But I know that at least we as a brand, we take a lot of extra steps. It's funny, there's two sides to me. I'm very aggressive in terms of innovation and putting things out there. I'm very ambitious of leading and sort of like experimenting and putting incredible products with great ingredients out there. But I'm extremely conservative, because I'm always biting my nails on it during the test phase of the product.
Right.
Right.
And sometimes there are certain things, you know, my dream might go out of the window because science is not ready yet. So cannot go there.
Right.
So I think that it's all about the practices of the company. And I know you can put your envelope as far as you can, but there is a very restrictive process in terms of what and how you use the fragrances or any ingredient in the product.
Yeah.
It's not just about the fragrance. It could be a hidden ingredient in the product that is so important to check it in every single thing.
Yeah, I'm thinking of some products that, or rather some brands that have popular products and then maybe they just got like a lot of demand for it, but they'll release like a scentless version, usually saying like, oh, it's for sensitive skin and we've also taken out the scent, and everyone's like, oh my God, thank you so much. Like now I can use this because like I'm allergic to fragrance. And that's another thing that I think, like, yes, people can be allergic to fragrance and skincare, but also I think that's like such a blanket statement to say that like an allergy extends to like every tiny little minute amount of fragrance and skincare. And I don't know how to get around that.
Absolutely. But yeah. You know, when you're making a claim on sensitive skin, you do have to be very careful because yeah. you want to eliminate a lot of things because it's all about your claim. And I think that when in today's world, claiming sensitive skin, it's a big deal because yeah. we have a lot of people living in the world today. People have a lot of allergies because of the environment, because of some of the food that we eat, if it's the processed food. People do have allergies, I mean, more than ever. And that's known. And I think that when people are referring to sensitive skin, it's you got to be very careful. It's a big claim. And it means that you have to eliminate so many different things because the moment you bring yourself to a place where sensitive skin becomes a conversation, you start approaching the formulas very, very differently. Very, very differently. And I think for us, it's almost becoming, it's almost like a lowers yourself to a drug level. And you have to be very careful with that. And I think that I'm in these cases particularly, I like to approach it. It's definitely using natural ingredients will be always very difficult. Like in terms of fragrance, not in terms of right. what's in it. That natural fragrances again could be very, very potent. So you have to find an extremely, extremely, it's either becomes fragrance free and all the scents coming through the actual ingredients themselves, or it's becoming a very vigorous, you literally test for people with majorly sensitive skin.
Right, yeah. I'm thinking about even fine fragrances now that are moving into the clean and natural categories. It's yeah. so difficult to make a natural fragrance made from non-synthetics because they're so volatile. So right.
yeah.
like the bottle you sell may not smell like what it smells like once it gets into a consumer's hands.
Well, you know, you're completely right. There's another issue we have to remember is that if we go into a fragrance, which becomes a fragrance, it's not a skincare. You go into the fragrance world itself, and you want to apply the juice on your body. It's very, very different because everybody have a different sort of like translates the fragrance very differently because
right.
we eat things differently. If you eat garlic in the morning or if you eat any kind of strong sort of like spice and you're going to apply a fragrance, it's going to smell very different on you because things coming right through your skin. So, and also natural fragrances, they're adapting to the skin very, very differently. So you got to be able to also find a way to stabilize them. So whatever you experience in a fragrance, it's becoming a little bit more stable on your skin. So what you smelled on somebody else or you smelled on yourself, it potentially could get closer to what you experienced and not to be surprised by the time you bring something home and you're like, oh my God, it smells so different from the way how I spread it from yeah. the tester. And a lot of times, you know, people need to understand, like I, for example, I like garlic, but I cannot eat garlic because I smell fragrances every day. So for me, smelling, having garlic, eating it, and I'm Eastern European, I was born in Russia, and I don't know why, but the garlic, it literally stays on me for like 3 days. And that's the only thing I'm going to smell is garlic. So I can't evaluate any fragrance. I can't evaluate any product. So.
I never thought about that. How, I mean, I know that, you know, you eat certain things and they do sort of, they can sort of come through your skin, especially in certain amounts, but how something natural like garlic would affect the way that your fragrance wears and smells. You just blew my mind with that. Like,
yeah, it is, but it's everything. It's how you eat. You have to be, it's what it's, you know, all these very strong spices, which are amazing, but they will affect the way the fragrance will smell on you, because your skin takes, it has to come out of somewhere, you know. Our skin is very porous, so it's going to be within you, and when you apply a fragrance, you're almost creating a whole new composition on your body.
Right, yeah.
Because it's your body scent, your body produces, and then you're putting another fragrance on top of it, and that's why generally, unless it's a completely very, very chemically strong fragrance, it's always going to smell different on people.
Absolutely, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I know that you are mostly known for your skincare with such a huge catalog of products, but you also, for a brand that is so skincare first, have quite a bit of perfumes. And I know that people are and have been huge fans of like Brown Sugar and Cannabis Santal. Can you talk a little bit about the decision to go into fragrance and when you did that, why it made sense for a skincare brand to do fragrance as well?
Well, you know, my story is that the way how I got into beauty, I got it through fragrance. Because when I was growing up in Russia, my mother, I was 6 years old, and I remember when the first time, sort of like the seed of my passion for fragrance and then was leading to beauty products started. I know exactly the moment when it happened. And I remember when my mother, it was in late October, I was in St. Petersburg, very cold, nasty time, because it's always was so cold and wet, I remember. And then it was Saturday when mother found out that there was a black market, and on the black market they were selling her favorite fragrance. And the woman in Russia at the time would be saving money for these type of moments, because the only two fragrances that were available for men and women used to be called Red Moscow. And everybody in Russia, no, not in Russia, but everybody around my world, if I'll be in the bus, if I'll be in the train, if I'll be with teachers or with friends, everybody smelled the same. They smelled like Red Moscow, and it smelled horrible. It was absolutely horrible. And it had like such a very particular smell that I felt like this is what the smell of the world is. And I remember when my mother took me to this market, and I was standing right in front of her, and she finally stood in line. She finally made her way to the smuggler. I mean, if my mother would be caught, she'll go to jail. The smuggler will go to jail. Whoa. And I probably will have to walk home by myself in October on a very cold day. But my mother, I remember when she got to the guy and she paid him the money, she paid him 120 rubles. And 120 rubles, just to compare, rent a month in one room. We used to live in one room in the communal apartment of three other families. Our room was 22 rubles a month. My mother's salary was 100 rubles a month. What? So she paid 120 rubles. Wow. She paid almost over 1 month's salary and 6 months worth of rent to buy that French fragrance. And when she applied it on herself, I saw her literally transforming. Like literally she was like, she disappeared somewhere and I disappeared with her, because I experienced a fragrance that I never experienced before. I mean, it was such an incredible smell, and I can right here and there, I understood that this is very transformative. You know, fragrance could be transformative, and that's where my passion to fragrance started. So everything for me started with the fragrance in the beginning. And when I was developing products that simultaneously worked and developed fragrances. I started creating my own laboratory of fragrances and my own library of fragrances, and that's what I meant. And I had over 120 fragrances that not even available on the market that I worked on, that they came in and out, and each one of them has an incredible story behind it. But fragrances was my first passion before I got into beauty.
Wow. That story is wild.
But that's what it was.
Wow. So from there, did you always want your skincare brand to have fragrances as well? Like, it seems like a natural.
Oh, yeah. It was not even a question. Mm. No, it's not even a question, because it's like in design, for example, when I look at things, and I like design, I like interiors, and so I do a lot of interior decorating projects, even within my hotel and things like this. I always refer to things, and there's a reference that is very, very similar. And nothing, no space come to life to me unless I put the right lighting in place. So we're known for our collection of lighting and everything else. And what I call it is that you put sort of like the blood into the veins, because it brings everything to life. It brings all the colors to life. And I think fragrance product without fragrance is not a complete story. I believe that sort of like gives it this last touch, that gives you this connection, that it makes you sort of like connecting to the product in just a whole other way. It just talks to you. It just completes the story. It's the same thing. It's sort of like, it's this one last thing that sort of like gets the blood flowing and brings things to life and make you dream and make you imagining places where it could be coming from and all of those things. And I think it's such an important thing, because I think we can't take away from us a moment of dreaming and experience that could be so big and great. And I think that the story have to be completed. And my job is, and the job of my amazing product development team and everybody else I'm working with on developing products, is making that accessible, available, so people can have the experience and they can have it in the most safest way.
Wow. Something that has always jumped out to me, especially recently with, stay with me here, but like the recent legalization of marijuana and like the CBD craze and all of that, yeah. We see a lot more cannabis in fragrance in the past couple of years, but Fresh has been the one, or one of the only brands who, you know, 5-6 years ago had a cannabis fragrance, cannabis santal and cannabis rose, I believe, as well.
No, it was 15 years ago.
Wow. Oh, wow. So that was my question. Like, when did you make that decision to put that one out? Because when I did something around cannabis fragrances a while back, and Fresh was one of the only ones I could find. So I'm curious as to how that originally came to be.
When I smelled cannabis first time, I thought that it was, the smell was so big. You know, I love many different notes. I love many different things from nature, the way they smell and everything else, you know. You just name it, from roses. Patchouli is to die for. When you cut the root of patchouli, oh my God, it's insane. Garlic is crazy. When you smell garlic extract, by the way, as much as I would not use it, it is so powerful. It's crazy to think that the nature can actually create something like this. So when I smelled cannabis in its beautiful form, and I think cannabis is awesome, it's one of those things is that you cannot believe it, that the nature actually creating something like this that smells like so incredible. And I wanted to experiment with a fragrance that a composition that is very reminiscent of the cannabis. And I think that that's sort of like what inspired me to do it. And I didn't care, you know, when more people told me, do not ever call the name cannabis santal or cannabis, the more I got excited about it. I said, I don't care. You know, I remember my last conversation with somebody, I'm not going to mention name, somebody who's in from the industry. And it was like half an hour conversation, why I can't. And when I hung up the phone, I said, turn around, I told my team, we have a new fragrance. That's it. It's called Cannabis Santal. There's no turning back.
That's how you know.
Yeah.
That's just what it is. And I didn't want to be, it was not about controversy in any way. I felt it's an ingredient that I wanted to celebrate in a fragrance. It's not about controversy. Seriously, it's not. It's not, I don't care. The world offers so many different things. I don't care what the use of it and everything else. It's awesome, you know. I'm glad that it's being legalized, and I'm glad people looking at it very, very differently. but it's an amazing ingredient, and it's so powerful. So why can't I have a fragrance that has cannabis in it? You know,
right?
Yeah, right.
It doesn't have cannabis in it, by the way. We don't have cannabis in it, but it's a composition of cannabis.
That's totally.
Wow.
Yeah, I feel like just the taboo nature of the name is like an automatic point of interest. Yeah,
I know.
Totally.
I know.
Still thinking about those strawberry seeds. Picking them out of my eyebrows.
Right? Have you used that before? I have not.
I remember I tried to recreate it, I think for an ExoVein article, because it was really expensive. And I just ended up like smearing strawberry jam on my face. And I was like, not the same.
I've never really been a DIY girl when it comes to beauty. Like, I can make a lot of shit, but I don't want to make a mask. Like, that's what money's for.
Yeah. I like the idea of DIY beauty, but it's just messy and it never really has the results that I want. So I'm like, you know what? Best not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah.
That was wild. It's super interesting to hear. I thought it was really cool when he said, like, you know, using all these natural products and such a high concentration of the products will give the product a scent, but sometimes you have to, you want to pull an extraction from, you know, the rose or the straw, whatever it is, to like juice up the fragrance even more. So it's still that scent, and it's, you know, it is, I guess, added fragrance in a way, but it is still all from the same stuff to make it a more of an experience.
Yeah. Honestly, they should just make a fragrance brand, I think. Or like,
I mean, they basically have one, you know.
Yeah, or like pull that out more.
Yeah.
Right? I think they should do that.
I mean, I feel like a lot of people really like, I remember in the XO days, a lot of people wore and loved fresh fragrances. They certainly are a household name in that respect.
Oh yeah.
And I love the ones I've tried. I love brown sugar. I love cannabis santal. So
I don't think I've actually smelled those before, but
they're good.
I do like the scent of their skincare products, like the soy face wash. I love that smell.
You love that soy face wash.
Cucumber. And it's funny because that face wash, I feel like, is one of those universally popular face washes that everybody likes despite their skin type, including sensitive.
Yeah.
And it's quite fragranced. So I'm like, okay, well, this one seems to be okay and no one's complaining about it. Like, what's the deal?
So what is the truth?
Doesn't smell like soy, it smells like cucumbers, but that's just a nice surprise.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, unexpected.
Well, I'm glad that we were able to speak to someone who could sort of squash the fragrances bad in skincare. And yes, we realize that like a scented product is not like a product scented by the ingredient is not the same as an added fragrance. Are aware.
Actually, I feel like an added fragrance might actually be more or less likely to irritate because they could control that substance more.
I think I'm at an added perfume, but yes.
Yeah. As opposed to a natural fragrance, which is more volatile.
I'm sure this is going to come up again, though, because there are a lot of,
a lot
of people with a lot of opinions on this.
This isn't
a lot
the end.
Skincare brands with a lot of fragrance. So no, we will be revisiting this.
Absolutely. But until then.
remember, if you want to join our, I'm not even going to call it a mixed bar giveaway. It's the Smell You Later giveaway, sponsored by Smell You Later.
Yes. out of the goodness of our hearts.
Exactly. Share our fresh episode post to your story or whatever, and you're automatically entered the win. Isn't that easy?
So easy.
We love it. I can't wait to hear what the winner thinks of all the fragrances. You're going to love them.
Yeah.
Until then, follow us on Instagram so you can share the post at smellyoulater.mp3. Follow me. I'm at Tynan Buck.
And I'm at Sabletooth Tigra.
We'll talk to you soon. Smell you later.
Smell you later.